Daf, or tonight's daf is daf yud. We got to the bottom of Tesamer Beis. The Mishnah says we're in the middle of the Ein Bein. This is, I think, the last Ein Bein, maybe? Yeah, I think so. So the Mishnah says, Ein Bein Yushalayim, rather, Ein Bein Yushilal Yushalayim. The only difference between Shilal and Yushalayim, what's Shilal and what's Yushalayim? So Shilal is a reference to the Mishkan. When the Mishkan entered into Eretz Yisrael, so it was placed in the area of Shiloh, which is found in the chelek of either Ephraim or Menashe, I forget which one. And Yushalayim is, of course, where the base of Mikdash was. And actually, Rashi, Al-Torah Rashi says, when Yosef and Binyamin met each other, they were crying on each other's necks. And it says, Tzavarov, crying on the necks of two necks that Binyamin had. So Rashi says it refers to the two Bate Mikdash that will ultimately be in the chelek of Binyamin. It's actually Binyamin and Yehuda. They shared the chelek of the base of Mikdash. And Binyamin cried on the neck of Yosef. Why Yosef's neck? Because Yosef's chelek, either, again, Menashe Ephraim, I don't remember which one, that's where Shiloh was in that place. The Mishkan was ultimately going to mean to Shiloh. So he was crying at the destruction, the loss of the Mishkan, and Yosef was crying on the neck of Binyamin, the destruction of the two Bate Mikdash that were in Yushalayim, which is in the chelek of Binyamin. So what's the difference between the Shiloh and Yushalayim? Mishnah says, Ein Bein Shiloh Yushalayim, Ela Sheh B'Shiloh, Ochlin Kachim Kalm, Umay Shesheni B'Chol HaRoa. The Lachit Kachim Kalm have to be eaten in Yushalayim, when it came to Shiloh, and also Umay Shesheni has to also, it's when you take the tenth of the fruits, there's a whole, we have to go through the whole thing. We did this last time, a few days ago. You take Truma, you take Ma'aser Rishon, you take Ma'aser Sheni. The Ma'aser Sheni then goes to Yushalayim to be eaten. So when they took it to Shiloh, the halacha was, it didn't have to dafka be in Shiloh. You could eat the Kachim Kalim and Ma'aser Sheni, Bechol Haroa, any other area that you could see Shiloh, no matter how far it is. If you could see Shiloh, you're allowed to eat Ma'aser Sheni and Kachim Kalim. As opposed to Yushalayim, says the Mishnah, dafka, you're only allowed to eat Ma'aser Sheni and Kachim Kalim, lifnim minachoma, within the walls of Yushalayim. Outside the walls, even though you could see Yushalayim, you cannot eat Kachim Kalim and Ma'aser Sheni. Says the Mishnah further, Vakan, both in Shiloh and Yushalayim, Nekadshe Kachim, the higher levels types of Kachim, which is referring to Chatas and others, Nechalim Lefnim Minaklayim, that you have to eat within the walls, within the curtains of the Azara. And Kedusha Shiloh, Yesh Achare Heter, Kedushas Yushalayim Ein Achare Heter. Top of Yudam Aleph now. So after the destruction of Shiloh, there still existed a heter of a building bamos. We spoke about bamos yesterday's daf at the bottom, that you could still build a bama after the destruction of Shiloh, the Mishkan Shiloh. But once it was the base of Mikdash was built in Yushalayim, even after it was destroyed, there was never again a heter for building bamos. In fact, the end of Zvachim, I think it's the 12th parak of Zvachim, talks about the halachas of bamos. The Rambam doesn't bring these halachas down at all because it's not relevant anymore. It was once relevant during the times in Eretz Yisrael before the base of Mikdash was built, but once it was built, it's no longer mutter anymore, and that's why the Rambam doesn't record it anymore. It never will be mutter again. So Gemara says now, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Shemati Shemakriven Bebeis Chonyo. I heard that you're able to be makriv in the house of Chonyo. Who is Chonyo? So Rashi says on the Gemara, four lines down, Rashi, Beis Chonyo, Mizbeach Chonyo, Bino Shel Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik's son, his name was Chonyo apparently, he built the Mizbeach, Bana Bama B'Mitzrayim L'Shem Shemayim. He built it L'Shem Shemayim. His machlok is actually whether it was L'Shem Shemayim or Avodah Zarah. But he heard that it was L'Shem Shemayim, and a person is allowed to be makriv on this Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Kesavar must be Beis Chonyo Lav Beis Avodah Zarah. It must be that it was not considered Avodah Zarah, it was considered L'Shem Shemayim, and one can be makiv in this Mizbeach that was found in Mitzrayim. The Kesavar further, Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Ashaitav Lo Kitchel Asulavo. So what's going on here is that this took place after the destruction of Bais Rishon. So our Mishnah said, after it was built in Yushalayim, you're no longer allowed to build Bamos anymore. So how could he build the Bam in Mitzrayim if the Beis Mikdash was already placed once before in Yushalayim? So it must be that when the Mishnah says there's no Heter after Yushalayim, it's only because the Kedusha that existed in Yushalayim was lasting forever. But if you assume that Kedusha that was once there is not forever, once the destruction of Beis HaMikdash happens, there's no longer Kedusha, then one would be allowed to build the Bama elsewhere. So the fact that we allow the Bama to be built elsewhere after the destruction of Bais Rishon must be of the assumption that, again, Kasavar Kedusha Rishona, the first time the Beis HaMikdash was built, the Kedusha Rishona, the first one, it was a Kitchel HaShaita. It was only a temporary Kedusha, but V'lo Kitchel HaSalava. It wasn't an eternal Kedusha, and therefore, once it was destroyed, one is able to build Bamos. As opposed to after the Kedusha by Sheni, the second one, everyone would agree that is Kedusha Lasalavo, and you can no longer build a Bama after the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. How do we know this to be true, that it was only temporary? Ki lo basim arata el hamenucha vel hanachla, Pasuk says. So what does it mean? What are these things? That menucha zu shilo, nachla zu Yushalayim. What's the connection? Makish nachla le menucha. We're connecting nachla, which is referring to Yushalayim, to menucha, which is referring to shilo. What's the halacha we're learning from this hekesh? Ma menucha yesh acharei heter, just like after menucha, after the shilo, the mishkan and shilo, there was a heter after the destruction of mishkan shilo. Af nachla yesh acharei heter, so to the nachla, that after the destruction of Yushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash of Yushalayim, there is also a heter of building bamos. So that's the understanding of the first opinion here, that the Kedusha Rishona was only L'shaita, but was not L'asid Lavo, and therefore is permitted to build the Bama of Beis Chonio. Gemara says, now Amri Lei Amris, so they say to him, to Rabbi Yitzchak, did you really say this? You really said this was okay? Amr Lehu Lo, I did not say this. He denied ever saying such a statement. Amr Rava, Halukim, what do you mean? In God's name, Amr, you certainly did say this. V'gemirin Allah Mineyim, we actually all learned this from you, don't deny it. So my time of Kahadr, so he certainly retracted. What was the reason for his retraction? Why did he go back on his word? Mishum Kashi de Rav Meri. He had a certain Kashi he once heard in the name of Rav Meri. De Mosi Rav Meri. Meri asked, Kedusha Shilo Yesh Achare Heter. The Kedusha Yushalayim Ein Achare Heter. He learned this Mishnah. So interesting, that at a certain point in time, usually we assume, the assumption is, I mentioned, yes, I'm learning the Mavoha Talmud, the introduction to the Talmud. So he mentions there also on the side of the page there, I don't know who the author is, but there's something called the Kitzer Mavola Mishnah or something. So there it describes how we assume that the Amoraim knew all Mishnayos. They didn't know all Brisos, but they knew all Mishnayos, but there are certain instances, some exceptions, where they didn't know a particular Mishnah. So this would be an example where he did not know, where Yitzhak, who was an Amora, did not know this Mishnah that we just learned. So he was just introduced to this Mishnah, that after the destruction, after Yushalayim, there is never a heter anymore for building bamos. The ode. Another reason why he retracted and said that Beis Chonav really couldn't be used for karbanos. Ode Tanan, another Mishnah says, and this Mishnah is found in Zvachim at the end, Mishabol Yushalayim, once they got to Yushalayim, Nesu HaBamos, all Bamos were Aser, V'lo HaYolahem, Ode Heter. Then no longer was it permitted to build Bamos. V'Haisa L'Nachla. What's the Pasuk saying there? That's what we mentioned, the Pasuk of L'Nachla there. So is that a question there? Hold on a second. Right, that's the conclusion of that Mishnah. So the Gemara now says, it's really a Tanaim. It's really a Machlokas Tanaim, whether the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, after the destruction, whether it's mutter to build Bamos or not. What's the Machlokas? So again, that Machlokas, whether you could build Bamos after Beis Rishon, really depends on the Machlokas. When we say Kedusha Rishona, the initial Kedusha Beis Rishon, was that La'as Lavo, and it was forever, or it wasn't La'as Lavo? That's really the understanding of why one would say it's permitted to build Bamos or not. So let's understand this Machlokas. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Shemati, I heard, Kishayu Bonin Behechel, when they built the Hechel, the Beis HaMikdash, Osin Kalan Lehechel, El Kalan Le'azara, they built the certain curtains around the Hechel. The Hechel was the part of where, the Mishkan is a much simpler diagram to look at. So the way it worked, there's three basic rooms in the Mishkan and also the Beis HaMikdash for that part. That, so the first opening, let's say you come in from the east here. This is the east. You guys are facing the other way around. I always do this. East, west, north, and south, okay? You come in from the east. Right? That's for you, the east, west? No. Forget how it actually is. Just from the perspective, this is, I'm doing the east. Pretend you're looking at a map. So that's south, east, north, west. Right? So you come in from the east into the Beis HaMikdash. The first room is called the Azara. That's where the big Mizbech HaChiton is. The big ramp. It's very high up. You bring all the karbanos. Then there's the middle room, is the Heichal. The Heichal, right in the center, you come in, then you have the Mizbech HaKetaris, a small Mizbech, where the Ketaris would go. On the south would be the Menorah, the north would be the Shulchan, and then the final room, the Kodesh Kedash room, of course, where the Aron is. So the Heichal is the middle room, and the Yazara is the outer room with the big Mizbech. So what he's saying here is that when they built the Heichal, they put curtains around the Heichal, where the Menorah and Shulchan and Ketaris were, and they also put Kalam around the Yazara as well. Ella, but there's a distinction. Shebeheichal bonim mibechutz, ubazara bonim mibifnim. When they built the heichal, where the mizbeach, menorah, and shulchan was, they built it on the outside, They want there to be this border, so a person shouldn't walk in when they weren't supposed to into the Heichal, so the curtains were further outside, so you encounter the curtain before you actually step into the Heichal. As opposed to the curtains surrounding the Azara, it was okay to step into the Azara, so the curtains were built in the Azara. So even though you touched the curtains and you were in the Azara, that would be okay. So that's the difference how they built the Kalayim around the Heichal and the Azara respectively. So now that's all according to Rabbi Eliezer. So what does that mean? We'll have to see in just a second. So Kalma Zong Rabbi Yeshua Shemati, he says, I heard Shemakriven Apapisha in bias, that you're allowed to be makriv the karbanos, even though there's not an actual bias, there's no base amigdash, and you're ochlin kachim, kachim kachim, apapisha in klaim. You don't need curtains. You could still be in the midst of eating kachim kachim, even though there are no curtains and no walls. And kachim kalim and maishasheni, you're allowed to also eat apapisha in choma, even though there is no wall. Because again, kachim kachim have to be eaten in the Azara. So you don't need the kalim of the Azara. Kachik kalim and maishasheni need to be eaten in Yerushalayim. You don't need walls. Why? Mipnei kedusha rishona kitchul shaita the kitchul asilavo. Says Rabbi Yeshua, once the bais rishon was built first, the kedusha is there and forever, and you never have to rebuild it. The kedusha always exists. The kedusha is still there right now, even though there's no bais hamikdash. So if I know where the makom mizbeach is, I can actually be makriv a karbon. The Rambam actually passing this way. They prove this. The Rambam writes, "The machlokes rishonim bizman hazeh, whether the sfiras haomer is a deraisa or a derabanan." That's a big machlokes rishonim. Now the Rambam paskins as it's a din deraisa. Mitzvah sasei deraisa bizman hazeh. Now the difficulty is the Rambam places hilchos sfiras haomer. Anybody know where he places them? In hilchos tamidim u'musafim. I think Perek Yud. He places the halachas there. Now, if he plays in Hilchos Tamidim Musafim, that would indicate that Sfir Sa'omer is connected to the Karbanos. So, if it's connected to the Karbanos, Sfir Sa'omer, then there are no Karbanos anymore, so that means Sfir Sa'omer should really be a mitzvah derabanan bizman hazeh. How come the Rambam says it's deraisa? If it's connected to Karbanos, there are no Karbanos anymore. So, Bisker Rav writes on Menachos that even though there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is an active chiv. We have a chiv to bring Karbanos. And if we knew where the Makom Mizbeach is, we would have to bring. So the very fact that there's a Chiyuv to bring, even though practically we can't, that Chiyuv is enough to make the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer to be Deraisa. Because the Kitcha L'Shaita is Kitcha L'Asulavo. It's the eternal Kedusha, and you never need to build anything after that point. That's all according to Rabbi Yeshua. But Rabbi Eliezer assumes that the Kedusha Rishona was not L'Asulavo. And the moment the Bais Rishon was destroyed, there's no Kedusha. So he had to start building the curtains and the walls in order to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash to allow them to bring Karbanos. So that's the Machlokas here, whether Kedusha Rishona was Kedusha Lash Lavo or not. Okay. You guys thought we got rid of all that Kachim stuff. Or I guess not. Okay, the Gemara says now, Michlal, so the fact that Rabbi Lazar, Michlal the Rabbi Eliezer, so that's all Rabbi Yeshua's opinion we just said, that the Kedusha is Lash Lavo. The implication is, Michlal, that according to Rabbi Eliezer Savar, lo kitcha las lavo, that it was not eternal, and therefore you're only allowed to bring the karbanos and eat if you put up these curtains and these walls. So that's the machlokas. So Amalei, Ravina le Ravashi, Ravina says, Ravashi, mimai, dil, mihadino, that's the machlokas. Dilma chulialma kadusha rishona kitcha la shaita ve kitcha las lavo. Maybe everyone agrees, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees, that it's an eternal kadusha. Umar, they're not arguing about what's needed. They're arguing about what actually they did. They didn't have to put up the heichal. They didn't have to put up the kalam, rather. They could have brought the karbanos without any walls, without any curtains, but they decided to put up curtains. That's what happened. But it wasn't needed. So maybe there is no machlokas in what was needed. They're just debating what actually happened. So then the Gemara asks, if you don't need the walls, so what's the need? If you're allowed to eat and bring karbanos, if you know where the makom mizbeach is, so why put up the kalayim and the curtains in the first place? Says the Gemara, litznius sabalma, just to have some privacy, that's all. But there really was no need. And you can't prove from this that there's a machlok is about kedusha rishona, kedusha lasu lavo or not.
Why would they limit the initial kedusha if they weren't there? Now there's going to be the destruction. When they do a Kedusha with the intent it's going to be forever because they did not know they're going to be the destruction of the Batei Mikdashot.
They knew it was going to be destroyed.
They knew
about it, yeah. They knew it was already destined from the beginning that it was going to be three Batei Mikdash. But so it might not only be dependent on what their initial Das was. So I remember hearing once, maybe Rav Soloveitchik explained this, that the reason why, even if they wanted to make the Kedusha, Lash Lavo, it wouldn't have worked. because the way it worked was when Yeshua conquered the land, he conquered from the outside to the inside. As opposed to when Ezra came back, he started from the inside to the Makom HaMikdash, and from the Kedusha, Beis HaMikdash, everything flowed outwards. So since the source, the center, started from the Beis HaMikdash, by Sheinim, that was an eternal Kedusha. Yeshua went from out to in, so there was less Kedusha to the Bais Rishon. That might be the svar of why one thinks it wouldn't be forever. Even if they had in mind, it may not have worked. I think I heard that once. Okay, the Gemara says, so where's the Machlokas Tanayim, whether we say Kedusha Rishona is La'as Lavo or not? Ela Kihani Tanayim must be like these Machlokas Tanayim. The Tani, the Braisa tells us, Amar Rebbe Yishmael, Rebbe Yossi, Lama Manu Chachamim Es Elu, why did they delineate these particular cities, Shik Sha'alu B'nei HaGola, when they returned back from Bavel during the times of Ezra, Matos Elu, V'kidshim, they found these particular cities, and they're Mekadesh, they sanctify these cities. Aval harishonim batlu mishibatlu haaretz. But the initial cities, the kedusha left the moment they were exiled from the Eretz Israel. All the kedusha left. Almo. So we see from this very statement, kesaver kedusha rishona kitcher l'shaita v'lo kitcher l'shalava. It was not an eternal kedusha. That's why they had to re-sanctify them when they returned back to Eretz Israel. That's according to one opinion. So Gemara asks, Raminhi, Amar Rebbe Yishmael, B'Rebbe Yossi, V'chi Elu B'Vad Hayu, were these the only cities that they actually sanctified? V'alo Kfar Nemar, doesn't the Pasuk say, Shishim Ir Kol Chaval Argov, there are 60 cities in this area. Uksiv, and it's written, Kol Elu Arim B'Tziros Chom Agvo, they all had these walls from the times of Yeshua Ben Nun. So this whole context here is talking about the lachas we mentioned a few days ago last week about having walled cities. The lachas of walled cities from the times of Yeshua Ben Nun. So regarding the Bat Erechoma, we said that the halacha is, if I own a house in a walled city, I have a year to redeem that house. If 12 months pass and I don't redeem it, it's sold forever to that guy and I can never get it back even after Yovel. So I got 12 months. If it's not a walled city, so then I have until Yovel to buy it back. So what's considered a walled city? So it has to be walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun. So with the first brisa we saw here says, when all those walled cities lost the Kedusha until they came back and re-sanctified it. But then the brisa says here, no, what do you mean? There were 60 cities. All the cities were fortified from the times of Yeshua ben Nun. And they all had the lachas of the Bati Erechoma. And it did not require being re-sanctified. So if it didn't require being re-sanctified, ask the Gemara, Elalama Manu Chacham Eselu. So why do they have to start naming all these new cities that they came into when they came back from Bavel? Kishkalu Mibne Gola. Matzu Elu Vekitchen, the Joshua says. They are Mekadeshit. So the Gemara says, Kitchen, what was the need to be? Why do you have to sanctify them? We're already saying there is no need for a Kedusha here. So Gemara says, Hashta Ha'amre Lo Tzuchalo Kedusha. We just said you don't have to re-sanctify them. So the Gemara says, no, what it really should say is, Elamatus Elu, they found these cities when they returned from Galus, Umanum, and they counted them, Velo Elu Bava, not only these, Elakol Shatala Lacha, Mesoras Biodecha, Miavosecha, any certain other city that we had at Mesora, Shemukefes Choma Mimos Yeshubinun, Kol Hamitzos Halalu, Nagimba. All the other cities that they had in Masorah, oh, that city Tzfat, and that city over there, whatever they're called, all of them, Tveria, they all had walls from the times of Yeshua ben Nun. They just wrote them down in a list to make sure we don't lose that Masorah. But they didn't re-sanctify them. They already were Kadosh. So according to this price that we see, Mipnei Shekadusha Rishona, Kitcha L'Shaita, V'Kitcha L'Shalavo. It was eternal. So we have two different statements in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. One saying that the Kedusha was necessary, they had to re-sanctify it when they returned, because the initial Kedusha was batel. And the second brisa says that they did not need to re-sanctify it because the Kedusha from the beginning was everlasting. So how do you deal with the two different opinions? They're both in the statement in the name of Rabbi Yishmael. So Gemara says, Kasha de Rabbi Yishmael de Rabbi Yishmael. Trey Tanai Aliba de Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi. They're two different Tanai. There's apparently a machlokas, what Rabbi Yishmael held. So one Tanai held this way, and the other Tanai held the other way. So in Echanami, it's a machlokas, but still they're two different statements. But it's a machlokas tanaim, whether, again, the Kedusha Rishona is a Kedusha Lasu Lavo or not. Ibai Seima, the Gemara suggests, alternatively, that Ha Rebbe Lazar Rabbi Yossi Amra. No, one of them was Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, the other one was Rabbi Eliezer Bar Yossi. They got confused with which son it was, but it's I guess they're brothers. So two different brothers were arguing about what the Pesach was. So what do we find by Rabbi Lazar? The Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Bar Yossi Amar Asher Lo Choma Even though there's not one now, the pasuk says Lamed Vav Aleph. Is it no or is it his? They make the drasha. Even though there is none now, as long as there was one once before, that's good enough. So Rabbi Lazar is the one who holds that kedusha is lost lavo as long as it once had one in the past, and it should be Shmuel who holds that the kedusha is not lost lavo. Okay, we're good with that. Beautiful. Now let's get into some very long-winded dapim of a Gemara as we're going to go through pasuk by pasuk in Megillas Esther. A lot of agata here. Okay, the Gemara says now, "Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh," the pasuk says, the introduction to the first few words of Megillas Esther. So, "Amar Rabbi Levi v'yisema Rabbi Yonasan, davar zem mitzores b'yadenu," we have a certain Kabbalah, "me'anshe knesa gadola, kol malkum shenemar vayhi," whenever the pasuk uses the word vayhi in any area of Tanakh, "enu ela lashon tsar," it's in anticipation of something bad, some trouble that's about to happen. So the Gemara goes one by one at all these examples. Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh hava Haman. Haman was the one who came about. Vayhi was anticipating, was telling us, foreshadowing to us something bad was about to happen. The pasuk says, Vayhi b'mei Shofet Hashoftim, what was about to happen? Hava Rav, there's a big famine. Vayhi ka'echal ha'adam l'rov. So that pasuk, where's the context there? Where's the pasuk on the side here? Oh, that's a Bereishis. That's referring to the, Migdal Bavel? What? Migdal Bavel, right? Then the pasuk says, "Vayarshem ki rabba ras ha'adam." Oh, that's the next pasuk, and they saw the evil that was taking place in man. That's the proof, the bad thing that happened. Then the pasuk says, "Vayhi binasam mikedem," and they traveled from the east and hava nivna lanu ir. So then they started, but that's Migdal Bavel. They started to build a city. Then the pasuk says, "Vayhi bimei Amraphel asu milchama." They started having the big war, the four and the five kings. What happened there? V'charvu shofo biyado. And they had the malach was waving the sword at Yeshua. The pasuk says, "Vayhi Hashem es Yeshua, vayimalu es bnei Yisrael." And it was Yeshua, and what happened? They started meila, they started stealing from all the spoils of war. That was a bad thing. The pasuk then says, "Vayhi ish echad bnei ramasim." So what happened there? Ki es chana ahava, v'Hashem sagar rachma, and he did not allow chana to have children. That was the bad thing that happened there. Vayhi, the pasuk says, Zakain Shmuel is very, very old. And his children did not follow the path of Hashem. Vayhi, David lechol drachav maskil Hashem imo. And David, everything he did, Akash Baruch was with him. So this is supposed to be a question now, I think, right? These are positive things. Let's see. One second here. Is there Rashi here? What's going on here? So the pasuk says again, Vayhi, David lechol drachav maskil v'Hashem imo, vayhi shol avnes David, and the shol was chasing David. Then the pasuk says, vayhi ki yashar melech bebeso. So this pasuk is found where there's only a pasuk on the side here. Wow, no surprise there. Whereas this pasuk, this is in Shmuel, when the king was sitting in the house, rak ata lo sivne habayis, that you should not build the house. This is referring to David HaMelech wasn't granted permission to build a Beis HaMikdash. So all these examples of Vayhi was an introduction to something bad that was about to happen. But then the Gemara says, V'haksiv, doesn't the pasuk say Vayhi b'yom ha'shmini? The Tanya, it says, O Sayom, that very day, the eighth day of setting up the Mishkan, Ha'isa simcha l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, k'yom shenivru bo shemayim v'aretz. There's so much simcha in front of Hashem, just like the day of the creation of the world. So how does he know this? K'siv hacha v'ayhi b'yom ha'shmini. K'siv hasim, it's written v'ayhi er v'ayhi boker yom ha'echad. So we see it was a great simcha. Even though it used the word v'ayhi, something happy happened. No, even though it was happy, ha'shachav nadav aviyu, something bad also happened. As we know, nadav aviyu went into the Kodesh Kedashim and they died. So v'ayhi was anticipating something bad. V'haksiv, but doesn't the pasuk say v'ayhi b'shmonim shana v'arba me'o shana? That 480 years, so what's the context here? Referring to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's something positive. And it says, Vayhi. Vaksiv, doesn't the pasuk say, Vayhi kasher ra, Yaakov is Rachel, and he saw Rachel. That was they were going to meet and get married. And Vaksiv, doesn't the pasuk say, Vayhi er, Vayhi voka, yom echa, the creation of the world. It says the word Vayhi, and that was certainly a happy day. Vayika sheni, Vayika shlishi, Vayika tuva. Every single day it says Vayhi on the creation of the world, and they were all wonderful things that were happening in the world. So Vayhi does not only mean something tsar. So therefore, Amar Vashi, Vashi comes along and explains, Kol Vayhi, every single instance of the word Vayhi, Ikahachi Vikachi, it could be either way. There's no rule anymore. But Vayhi Bimei, when it says the word Bimei, Vayhi Bimei, Eino El Lashon Tsar, that will definitely be anticipating something bad that's about to happen. So Gemara says, there are actually Chamisha, there are five instances of Vayhi Bimei. Vayhi Bimei, Havu. Where's that pasuk? He'll be made Havu. Did we see that one before?
Havu.
Oh, that Chamisha Vayhi Bimei Havu. There are five Vayhi Bimeis. What are the five Vayhi Bimeis? Vayhi Bimei Achashverosh, Vayhi Bimei Shafat Shoftim, Vayhi Bimei Amraphel, Vayhi Bimei Achaz, Vayhi Bimei Yoyakam. Those are the five appearances of Vayhi Bimei, and each one of them is anticipating something bad that's about to happen. Okay. Gemara now says, I'm Rabbi Levi, Davar Zem Mesoros Biyadenu. So again, we said before this phrase, Davar Zem Mesoros Biyadenu. So now we're bringing other statements of the same introduction. So Davar Zem Mesoros Biyadenu. The following is a Mesorah tradition that we have. What's the tradition? Me'avoseinu, from our fathers. Amotz V'Amatzia Acham Havu. They were brothers. So who were these individuals? So Amatzia was a well-known king. So he was a king. Who was Amotz? So the pasuk, the Gemara says, they're brothers. My kamashman, what's the chiddush that they're brothers? Who cares that they were brothers? Ki had amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani amar Rabbi Yonasan kol kala shitznu bebeis hachamel. Any kala, any daughter-in-law who is modest in her father-in-law's house, zocha v'yotzim mimena melachim unevim. She's going to merit to have kings and nevim come from her offspring. Minolan. How do we know that's the tremendous schar that she gets? Mitamar, from the story of Yehuda and Tamar, dichsev vayira Yehuda v'achshevel azona, and Yehuda saw her standing at the corner, and he thought she was a zona, ki chisa paneh mishum, because she covered her face. Mishum dichasa paneh v'achshevel azona, because she was being modest, standing at the corner, she looked like a zona. That's the opposite. She would be modest, he wouldn't think she's a zona. El mishum dichasa paneh b'veis chameh, because she covered her face in her father-in-law's house, in Yehuda's house, he didn't recognize her at all. And when she's standing by the corner, her face was exposed. So, because that sneis that she had in the house of her father-in-law, she was zochet to have kings, and Nevi'im come from her. How do you know? Melachim midavid. Melachim came from David. We know David came from Yehuda and Tamar, from Peretz, all the way down to David. So we know kings came from her. And one of the descendants of David was Amatzia. So he was a king. And Nevi'im, how do you know that Nevi'im came from Tamar? Damar Rabbi Levi, Mesoros Biyadenu, Me'avoseinu, Amotz, Amatzia, Achim Hayu. They're brothers. And who is Amotz? Siv, the pasuk says, Chazon Yishayahu ben Amotz. So Yishai, the famous Navi, was the son of Amotz. So again, David, to Yehuda and Tamar had David HaMelech. David HaMelech had a great-great-grandson, Amatzia and Amotz, apparently. Amatzia was a king, as we know, and Amotz ends up fathering Yishai the Navi, so both the Navi and the Melch came from Tamar because she was so tanua in the house of her father-in-law. Another statement in the name of Rabbi Levi. Am Rabbi Levi, Hadavar Zeb Mesoros Biyadenu Me'avoseinu. We have a certain Mesorah. Makom Aron Ein Min Hamida. The Aron did not fit in the Kosh Kedashim. The measurements that we have of the Aron and the measurements that we have of the Kosh Kedashim didn't really match, and therefore was a nace. The Gemara's in Sukkah talk about how the dimensions work exactly. Tananami Hachi, the Brisa says, Aron Sha'asim Moshe Yeshlo Eser Amos. The Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu built himself was 10 Amos, Lechol Ruach, in each direction. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, Lefnei Advir Esrim Ama Orech. And in front of the Kosh Kedashim, it was 20 Amos, the length. Uksiv, it's written further, Kanaf HaKruv HaEchad Eser Amos. The Kanaf HaKruv HaEchad Eser Amos. Each of the Kruvim were 10 Amos. And Aron Gufa Hecha Havakai. Where was there room for the Aron? So again, exactly, what's the math here? So if each Kruv was 10 Amos, and let's say the length of it, let's say this is the Aron here, this is the Kosh Kedashim here. So the Kruv was 10 Amos here, the width was 10 Amos. And one crew was 10 Amos, the other crew was 10 Amos. There's no space in the middle for there to be an Aron. So it doesn't make sense, the math doesn't work out. So it must be, Ella Lav Shmamina B'nes Haya Omed. It was a nace of the many nisim that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Gemara in Yuma, the first parak in Yuma, talks about all the different nisim, the 10 nisim that took place based on the Mishnah Avos, and I think asks, why is this not listed? If you look in the Mishnah Avos, it does not list this as one of the nisim. Why not? So the Gemara answers, because only the nisim that were able to be seen were mentioned in the Mishnah and Avos. This, of course, couldn't be seen. Only a Kohen Gadol went there once a year. So since this was not seen, it wasn't mentioned as one of the nisim, although it certainly was one of the many nisim that took place. The Kruvim were also not seen. The Kruvim, no, I correct. This whole concept, the Kruvim and the Aron, that's not mentioned as one of the nisim on the Mishnah. Yeah. Gemara now says, Rabbi Yonasan Pasuk La Pischa Lahai Parshasa Mehacha. When Yonasan would give his opening shir on Megillas Esther, he would darshan the following way. He quotes the pasuk that appears in, which pasuk is this? appears in Yeshaya. The pasuk says, "Vekamti aleim neum Hashem." The Gomer. So what's the rest of the pasuk here? Neum Hashem tzvakos v'chati lebavel shem ushar v'nin v'neched neum Hashem. That was a pasuk he would use to make a drasha. What would he say? He would say, "Shem ze haksav." The word "shem" is referring to the writing. Shar ze lashon, that's the language. Nin ze malchus, v'neched ze vashi. So referring to Bavel here. So what's Bavel? What's the shem? What's the shar? What's the nin? What's the neched? So he's darshaning, shem refers to the type of writing that they would use. Shar refers to the language that they would speak. Nin refers to the malchus, and neched refers to the vashi. So this is the drash he made in order to introduce the discussion of Megillas Esther. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani pasuk la'pischa l'hai parshas ha'mihacha. He would introduce his drasha with the following pasuk. This pasuk we read a lot, right? On the Tanya's Esther, we read this pasuk. It says, "Tachas ha'natutz yale barosh v'tachas ha'sarpad yale hadas." What does this mean? Tachas ha'natutz, tachas haman harasha. That refers to haman harasha. Shasa atma avodazar. He made himself into a avodazara, into an idol. Dichsiv, as the pasuk says, u'bechol ha'natutzim u'bechol ha'nalulim. What's the actual translation of natutz? Does anyone have anything? What?
Thorn.
Thorn, okay. So the tachs ha'natutz is referring to below the thorn, that he made himself into a thorn, into a vodazara. Okay. Yala barosh, that he ascended to the head. Who does that refer to? Ze Mordechai, shenika rosh, the head, l'chol ha'basamim. Rav Weinberger mentioned this drasha this past Shabbos, this famous drasha. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Parsha Kisisa, v'ata kachal ha'basamim rosh, you're supposed to take the basamim rosh, the heads of the spices, mar dror, that's the pasuk, one of the spices, mar dror, u'metargamina, and the targum uncle says, meri dechi, that's a reference to Mordechai. So that's the simon, the remes to Mordechai that's found in the Torah. What does it mean, tachas ha'sarpad? Tachas vashi. What does sarpad mean? What do they say?
Instead of the metal.
The what?
Metal.
Okay, fine. So tachas sarpad refers to tachas vashi. It's a reference to vashi. Do they explain why she's referred to a metal? I don't see any rashi here. Okay. And vashi harasha. Bas b'no shev Nebuchadnezzar harasha. Here we go. She was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. She sarf refidas beis Hashem. That he burnt the beis Hamikdash, which I guess he burnt all that metal. Dichsev refidaso zahav. So he burnt all the gold, all the metal. So she got that title of tachas asarpad. Yale hadas zu Esther hatzadekes shenikras hadas. As we know, her other name was Hadassah. Shenemar vahi uman es hadasa. The pasuk says in Esther, vayal Hashem l'shem zu mikra megillah. The pasuk was again the continuation of the pasuk. Vayal Hashem. L'sham is ze mikra megillah los olam lo yichasu. That means elu, you may perm, that perm will never be cut off from our celebration. So this is the drasha that Rabbi Shaul would open up with, darshaning each phrase from this pasuk, clearly referring to the story of perm. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi pasuk la pischa lahai parshasa. He would open up his drasha with the following pasuk. It says mehacha, the pasuk that appears in this is where, in the end of Dvarim. Okay, it says, "Vayayak Hashem sas Hashem aleichem." When Hakadosh Baruch Hu is happy on you, lehetev, to do good, eschem with you, ken yasis laharaschem, so too he'll be happy to do bad to you. Umi chada, Gemara asks, Umi chada Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'mapaltim shav rishayim. Is Hakadosh Baruch Hu happy with the downfall of rishayim? Haksir, the pasuk says, "Bitzeis lefnei achalitz v'omrim hodu Hashem kilo amchasda." So that they were singing praise when they left, referring to a reference to Mitzrayim. When they left Mitzrayim, they were singing praise. And Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, "Mipnei malo nemar kitov bodasazu." Why don't it say kiliom chazda? Why doesn't it say kitov? Zu lefi sheina kadosh baruch hu sameach b'mapaltan shereshamim. It can't say the word tov, even though the reshamim being destroyed, Hakadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get happy when his creations get destroyed. Vamar Rabbi Yochanan says further, "My dichse, what does the pasuk mean when it says v'lokarv zel zeh kol alayla, that they didn't come close, the unknown and the aged didn't come close to each other all night? Big shemalech esharis lomar shira, they wanted to sing shira. Amar kadosh baruch hu ma'isiyadai tovim b'yam, my creation is being drowning in the water. V'atem amrim shira, you're going to sing." So again, the question becomes: how can we say above that kadosh baruch hu is happy when something bad happens? So comes along Amar Rabbi Elazar. Who ain't no sauce of Achim Masis? He's not happy. Others are happy when they see Rishon destroyed. Akash Baruch Hu is not happy. But Dekanami, it's very exact. If you read the Psukim, it says, Nami dechsiv kein yosis, vloksiv yosis shmamina. It doesn't say yosis, it says yosis. What's the difference in the grammar there? How do they say this? What's yosimin versus yosis? Anyone have a...
Make rejoice.
So yosis would mean make rejoice. Yosis would mean he rejoices himself. Shmamina, he makes others rejoice, but he himself is not happy. Okay, should we do this next one or? What? One more? Okay. You doing good with time?
Yeah.
Oh, very good with time. Beautiful. Okay, the Gemara says, Rebbe Abba Barkana, Pasuk La Pischalai Parsha, Samyacha, he would open up his drasha with the following Pasuk. The Pasuk says, La Adam Shetov Lefanov, Nasan Chachma, Vedas, Vesimcha. So the person who was good to him, it gave him chachma, it gave him das, it gave him simcha, zeh Mordechai HaTzadik. Ulachote nasan inyan lasof lichnos, and to the sinner he gave the ability to gather together, zeh Haman, who gathered together all his different properties. Laseis latov lifnei elokim, to give in front of Hashem, zeh Mordechai v'Esther, dechsiv atasim Esther es Mordechai al beis Haman. This refers to Mordechai and Esther, that Akash Baruch Hu gave them the house of Haman. Okay, let's go a little further, why not? Rabba Bar Ofran Pasach LaPitzchel Hai Parshasa Me'acha, he opened up with the following drasha. V'samti, the Pasach Yirmiya says, V'samti Chesi Be'elam, I placed my throne in Elam, V'avati Misham Melech V'sarm, and I caused kings and ministers to be destroyed. Who does it refer to? Melech Zuvashi, her death. V'sarm Zehaman V'aseres Banav, Haman and all his sons, I caused them to be destroyed. Let's do one more. Rabbi Ravdimi Bar Yitzhak Pasach LaPitzchel Hai Parshasa Me'acha, he opened up with the following drasha. The Pasach says, Ki avadim anachnu, we were slaves, vavadusenu lo'azavnu elokeinu, v'yat aleinu chesed lefnei melech pras, and we didn't leave our service to Hashem, and we did chesed in front of the Persian king. What does this mean? Amosai, when is this all true? Bizman Haman. During the times of Haman, where he wanted to destroy us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Esther, showed us chen and chesed in front of the king of Achashverosh in order to save us. Okay, so we'll stop here. A few days of this. Agata, and then we'll get back to some halacha.
Marv.